This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The show, everybody. Kate Delaney here midweek in March, where it has really hit us with these tornadoes and wicked weather. At the start of the week, Tuesday into Wednesday, was nasty for the people of New Orleans. The people in Texas got it the day before. And in the meantime, there are so many people who are asking the question, what happens this year when it comes to taxes? Yes, when it comes to taxes, because last year, if you remember, there was all kinds of extensions and stimulus money, and this year it's a different story, although the IRS is talking about the fact that they are backed up when it comes to, you know, getting to people and getting money back to them and having to hire so many people to be able to process the backlog of taxes that they are going through. You know, it's three dreaded letters. And on this show, we've talked before about flat tax and fair tax and what could be a better way to do this. And is the IRS, is this the only setup that we're going to see in our lifetimes? And I think it just churns up and all of that. But it's a different year. And it's one where people are scrambling, I think, to get the taxes done. But this is still March, so you're okay, right? Remember the days when you would see lines of cars? You were probably one of them, right? And you were dropping off those taxes just so you could have it stamped midnight, before midnight. You would get them in on the due date. Because it's easy to procrastinate on the whole tax thing. Absolutely. All right. It's not about procrastinating here. It's about making a decision on what to do. The airlines are asking the president. Now, I'm going to say begging the president in some cases to drop the federal mask mandate on airplanes, along with the pre-departure testing requirement for international travelers. The COVID-19 cases in the U.S. have fallen sharply in the last couple of months. If we've been talking about the numbers, of course, and we see that. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, even earlier this month, extended its mass transit mask mandate by 30 days. So that's mid-April. But the CEOs of 10 U.S.-based passenger and cargo airlines, which would include Delta and American and United, wrote in a letter to the president, now is the time to do this. The letter says that while the airlines and their employees support the federal mask mandate when it was first implemented, especially because it did away with the possibility for airline-by-airline rules in the early days of the pandemic, they now feel it's not necessary. That the persistent and steady decline of hospitalizations and death rates are the compelling indicator that the country is well protected against severe disease from COVID-19. And I think what part of this is flyer frustration, that you're seeing passengers that are being disruptive because they're tired of the whole mask thing. And this was happening during the pandemic and was ridiculous, let's face it. But the push is, let's get rid of this. And that people could just wear them voluntarily, even if the mandate gets removed. Delta even did a separate statement. They stressed that passengers wouldn't be barred from wearing face masks or N95 or KN95 masks that were unavailable, but now you can get them. But they don't want the pre-departure testing for international travelers. I mean, is that smart or not? The WHO, says that preventative measures such as masking and testing should be based on risk assessments. So even if you go by that, the United Kingdom, European Union, Canada, they say it's a reality. They lifted travel restrictions. I think what the problem is the inconsistency with it, right? It's inconsistent. And it puts burden on travel to the U.S. And many outbound travelers are not willing to risk being stranded overseas because that's what can happen. You get stranded and good luck trying to find your way back. And how long can you be stranded? But see, now I think another problem that's happening is this BA2, these infections. So once again, like the UK is an example of it, the UK lifts the restrictions, but now they're seeing the rise of this sub-variant of Omicron, BA2. But nowhere near Omicron. Nowhere near that. I don't want to hear about other infections. There's even a talk of another booster. So are the airlines right? And they're right about the inconsistency. And that's not good. That's fertile ground for people who may already be frustrated, burnt out, and who knows, can freak out on flights. It just adds one more temptation. But if people want to wear masks, they can. And I think some people would choose to do that, to wear a mask. And then there's those that wouldn't, but now they have to. Madeleine Albright, what would she think of what's happening right now with Vladimir Putin? She was the first female U.S. Secretary of State. She was very involved in Western foreign policy, of course, in the aftermath of the Cold War. She is dead at the age of 84. She was instrumental in expanding NATO and just tried to push for an alliance to intervene in the Balkans to stop genocide. That was another thing that she really was a champion for. I mean, she was a force. For sure. There's no question about it. And she, at the end of the Cold War, she pushed for global interdependence, and she was the U.S.'s voice at the U.N., then took the helm at the State Department, and her big thing was freedom, democracy, and human rights. And we're not seeing that in the Ukraine, obviously, right now. And that was worrisome to her. She did talk about that. She wanted to support whatever to do to give back to the Ukraine, whatever that took, right? And she was the face of U.S. foreign policy in that decade, like I said, between the end of the Cold War and the War on Terror that was triggered by September 11, 2001 attacks. So she was involved in that. And what I liked about, what I would say was evident about her is no matter what your party affiliation, she was definitely a freedom lover. She was definitely, I'm a proud to be an American person. Stay with us. Coming up, a conversation with Joan Romney Graves.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Green Room, Joan Romney Groves. She's written a book called Where is My Home? It's based on a true story. Joan, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
So it's an interesting concept. It's not a concept. It's something that happened. We hear often stories about a dog or a cat that found its way home after being missing for however many years, and it's always fascinating to me. And that's exactly what you've written about in this children's book. So tell us the story.
Well, what it is it is a true story of this cat named Sonic, and he had rather a feisty attitude, so he wasn't suited to be a house cat. So he was taken to the country to live in a barn with other animals. Well, he soon realized that that wasn't a good home for him, and so he began an adventure of traveling back to where he came from. So he traveled 30 miles through every season of the year before he finally returned home. And when he returned home, he went into the garage and snuggled into the quilt where he was born. And it reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, because this cat was not lovable at first, but when he got home, he became a lovable, purring cat. So it's
Wow.
kind of interesting what he went through to change his attitude.
Yeah, so what he went through is, I mean, traveling 30 miles, and you said the different seasons. How long did it take?
It was 9 months.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. And so it came as a surprise to the family, but because he went that far, he was accepted with open arms.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, what an amazing memory animals must have, and especially this cat, Sonic. It's such an interesting story. 9 months traveling back and then being accepted. I love how you, in the book, you say prodigal cat, just like the prodigal son. So in the book, you talk about things that happened to the cat. And was that to show kids that sometimes you stray, but then you can always come back home? What was the message, the overwhelming message in the book?
Well, the message was that sometimes when you get out into the world, life is not just all fun and games. It's hard work, challenges to get through in order for you to meet your goal. And so I think that's the thing I was trying to bring up. And all of the animals and situations that occurred to the cat would be things that would normally happen in a situation like that.
Yeah. Wow. Was it fun for you to write the story?
It actually was, because I thought it was amazing that a cat could do this. And then having been a school counselor, I felt there was a message there that would be good for children, because I think it's important that children learn values at an early age.
And when you say learn values, what values would they learn from Where Is My Home?
Well, I think they learn the importance of home, the importance of being accepted there regardless of what happens, how to be kind, because he was a feisty cat, didn't like people when he started out, and became loving at the end. He also learned to persevere and to get through the challenges of life, which is true for all of us, as you understand.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting, being a counselor, and in fact, I want to say that you were in 2004 Counselor of the Year in Utah. That's a big deal.
It really is, and I was working with elementary students all this time, too, which I did enjoy.
Yeah, wow. So, and you've said this, but what do you hope anybody who picks up this book can get from the book? What else do you hope they take away?
Well, I think it's important for children to read true stories, because I think true stories reach the heart and soul of a child. It teaches them empathy and values. And so I although I love fantasy myself also, I do think true stories give children a chance to connect with the characters.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Joan Romney Groves, the book is Where Is My Home, based on the true story of Sonic the Cat. And you can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks, Joan.
Thanks to you. It's an honor to have been on your program.
Wow, what a story. Pets, you think about pets finding their way home, and there's always some, you know, there's always some oddball story. A lot of times, though, it's a dog, and it's not so much a cat. And I love what happened there, what happened with the cat. And it becomes the question, can cats find their own way home? How do they do that? It's the inherent ability of an animal to navigate towards an original location, they say, through unfamiliar areas. Who knew that this is what they do? And it's the same with the dog, that they're known to be able to backtrack to their beloved home or person or whatever it is. This hypersensitive sense of smell for the dogs, you know? And then I looked this up because I was so curious with Joan's story and the cat. What was the farthest a dog has ever gone to get back home? And I was reading about this dog, and I remember this, hearing the story from well before my time, but the dog they called Bobby the Wonder Dog covered 2,551 miles. Went home to Silverton, Oregon, after he was lost while his owners were visiting Indiana, and found its way home. I mean, I think it's amazing I think it's amazing if it's a handful of miles. But I've seen that with my dog, Guinness, who escaped once, and I had no idea, or I would have been panicky, and then all of a sudden, there he was, his face knocking at the side door. He knew, well, I'm not going to get in the front door. He knew to go to the side door thinking he would get my attention. And sure enough, of course, he did get my attention. And that's where, you know, he knew how to get back. He knew how to wander back when his brain was focusing on rabbits or whatever it was that he was, you know, chasing. And usually it's like a cat. It's like the dog, too. How far do they really wander from your home? And now we live in that world where they're so domesticated. It's not like it used to be where you had dogs. I'm sure some people do, but where it's very common to have dogs outside or even cats. You'd have a cat and it would wander around and you'd feed it and pet it and whatever, but it wasn't living inside the house, you know, with you. And now it's the opposite of that. Sometimes pets actually rule the house. That may be the way in your life. I think it's kind of a little bit the way in my life that that Guinness is the one who rules. All right, I want to update everybody on New Orleans because, you know, my love for New Orleans and for the people there. It was really widespread damage after this tornado. One person died. Miracle, it was just one, but one is one too many. And it's sad, the destruction is so devastating, where electrical wires are hanging down, trees are destroyed, power poles down, and you've got emergency workers at night that had to walk very slowly through darkened neighborhoods to check for damage. But the next day, when you could see the neighborhoods, wow. Louisiana even activated, of course, the National Guard, 300, to clear roads and provide whatever support they could. And it's always described the same way with tornadoes. It looks like a bomb went off. And I'll tell you what, you see the video of that tornado, and what happened, like Mississippi, too. There was the tornado in Mississippi. That was some funnel cloud, same thing over New Orleans. It was a terrible funnel cloud that was just long and just moving as fast as possible. So you've had them in Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, and then in New Orleans, ripping through parts of New Orleans and its suburbs, and cars just flipped over. Like nobody's business. But cars, debris, houses gone, that's one thing. Human life, that you can't replace. Meet you on the flip side.
A balanced meal for two. Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is in Europe to meet with NATO and European leaders Thursday and discuss ways countries can further assist Ukraine fight back against Russia's unprovoked invasion. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the president will push NATO countries to step up defenses in Eastern Europe.
The president will start by meeting with the Secretary General to check signals, you know, get on the same page in terms of the agenda for the NATO summit.
The Senate confirmation hearing for Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson is nearing its conclusion. Senators closed out their 2 days of questioning the federal appellate judge Wednesday night. The Democratic-led committee set to be back in session Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Jackson would be the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. You're listening to USA Radio News. A bipartisan group of senators has a request for the president.
A group of 40 U.S. Republican members of the Senate and House of Representatives Armed Services Committee are urging President Joe Biden to add a 5% increase above inflation for defense spending in his proposal for the fiscal 2023 U.S. budget. In his first year in office, Biden submitted a budget keeping the Department of Defense spending basically flat as he and many of his fellow Democrats sought to rein in the DOD budget. Biden is expected to announce his budget next week.
Officials in Texas are looking for suspects who attempted to rob an armored truck. The Harris County Sheriff says the robbery attempt happened Wednesday afternoon outside a Comerica bank. The guards shot back and the suspects ran off. Google News is reportedly being blocked in Russia. The Interfax news agency reports Russia is accusing it of publishing what it calls fake material about the country's military operation in Ukraine. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Joins us. His book is called Living in Brazil as a Peace Corps Volunteer and Businessman. And I have to tell you, when I got off the phone speaking to Harold when we had a preliminary conversation, I just wanted to go and travel because I was just amazed at the amazing things that he's done and what he's done by volunteering and what he's done as a businessman as well. So thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
I have to bring this up is, well, first of all, how did you end up in Brazil and what else happened in South America that put you in this situation?
Well, I joined the Peace Corps twice. The first time I went to El Salvador and the second time I went to Brazil, and they simply chose me to go there because they thought I fit the needs that they had.
And so you go, and was it what you expected?
More or less, the Peace Corps had changed a little bit from my first experience to my second experience, but it was a good time.
And you were in South America for a while. How many languages do you speak?
I speak Spanish and Portuguese fluently.
Wow. Was that one of the requirements?
Well, when I went there, I spoke no Spanish or Portuguese. I learned them while I was there.
Yeah. So you learned the language, you're dealing with the people. Give us an idea of what it was like in Brazil. What was it like doing that job?
Well, it was really, in many cases, rather boring. You just go to work every day, and I worked in state agricultural planning, as if you could plan agriculture, but they tried. And, you know, you just have your meetings and do your thing. My experience in Brazil was quite different. It was at the state level, so I was in the state headquarters. When I worked in El Salvador, I was out in a village working with Indians as small subsistence farmers.
And doing that had to be interesting. What were the challenges of that job?
Well, in 1932, there had been a communist uprising all through Latin America. And in El Salvador, they associated an Indian as a communist. So if they saw an Indian, they saw a communist. So they were out shooting Indians. And the government killed up to about 10,000 Indians right in the area where we worked. And so we had many problems with running around, you know, getting to know Indians and then getting them to sign a list and working in clubs, because that's more or less what happened in 1932 when they had the massacre. So they were very distrustful, and we had to overcome that.
Oh, and how do you overcome that? What did you do to gain their trust?
You just keep working and keep going there and keep visiting them, and eventually you wear them down. But we would have free seed, free fertilizer offered through the World Bank. And so they liked that. And then they saw the results from that were very positive. And so then they kind of opened up and let us into their village.
So you do that, and then you also do, and you talked about El Salvador, and of course in this book talking about what that was like, there were some scary situations. Give us one of those stories.
Well, working in Brazil, I did some consulting, and this was after Peace Corps, because I lived in Brazil for 10 years. And I was going out to visit a farmer as a consultant, and I got about 3 hours out. And the highway was ending and a dirt road was beginning. And that transition was, there was a one-way bridge. And I was going along and slowing my speed down and moving to the center of the road when a car came from behind and tried to pass me right at the bridge, which was a very silly thing to do because there was a tienda located on the right on the side of the road with several bicycles parked out front. And that car hit all of the bicycles and threw them, to absolutely destroy them, sending them about 100 feet down the road. And then there were a whole bunch of little men come out of the tiendas shaking their fists at everybody because they were mad at everybody. And then the four men got out of the little Chevette, and they were waving their fist at me, and then they got back in and started to chase me. And one of the things that I could do was I was in a Volkswagen bus, so I could go very fast, or rather fast, on a very bumpy dirt road. And the other people, they were in a Chevette, and with four large men in it, they bottomed out and couldn't travel very fast, so I very quickly lost them in the dust.
Boy, that had to feel good getting away from them, huh?
Yeah, except I was a little worried on the way back. I didn't want to meet them on the way back either.
Wow. As a businessman, what was the biggest learning curve perhaps you had? Did you have a learning curve or no, because you had met so many people in what you were doing at the Peace Corps?
Well, with a business, it was very difficult because a lot of people were there trying to drag you down. They did not want to see someone become successful. And so if they could drag you down, they would.
Yeah, that's scary. If they could drag you down, they would. And because you spoke the language, I mean, that had to help somewhat, because I can't imagine you would be able to really do business if you weren't fluent.
No, you have to be fluent, and you have to understand the culture. You have to be able to read what people are meaning rather than what they're saying, because they may say one thing and they mean another.
Yeah, what's the biggest difference with the culture? And I'm sure there's several things.
Oh, I'm trying to think here. Well, they're much more emotional, perhaps. Very much more emotional. And you go to a bar, all of the bars in Brazil are basically outside bars. And they always have music. And whenever they have music at a bar, the women stand up and dance. And so, and it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to watch a Brazilian woman dance, because her dancing, her moves come from way down deep in her soul. They can dance like nobody else can dance. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's just beauty. It's the definition of beauty.
Wow. And like you said, it's the definition of beauty. And that happens all over. That's culturally, that's acceptable. That's what happens. It's celebrated.
That's what happens. That's what happens in Brazil.
Yeah.
And people, when you play music, people are, some of the men are, grab a spoon and they're beating on a couple of spoons, and somebody else grabs a knife and beats it against the glass, and somebody else is rapping on the table with their hands. And I mean, they join in the music. They are participants in that. And men and women, they learn to dance when they're 2 or 3 years old. And they are so good at it. And parties in Brazil are parties. They are professional partygoers. They are not amateurs. And it's so much fun just to be around them.
Wow, how do you do? You're in that culture, and you do the Peace Corps thing, and then you're doing business, and you get through some of the obstacles, but then you're celebrating all the joyous things that the Brazilian people bring to the table. Was it tough to readjust when you came back to the United States?
It was very tough. That's called reverse culture shock, and I never did really adjust. I tolerate it, but it's just very difficult. There are so many times when I have a feeling that I have to hide, because the thing is I'm no longer an American, and I was never a Brazilian. I'm kind of somewhere in between the two, and I don't really fit in Brazil, and I don't really fit here, but you just have to make do.
Yeah,
the cultures are so different.
Yeah. You know, when you looking at your experience and this book, was it fun for you to write the book and travel back in your mind?
I loved it. I loved every moment of it. And I'm writing it mostly for my children and grandchildren. You know, my great-grandchildren aren't going to care, but my children and grandchildren both know me, and there's so much they don't know about me that I think they will enjoy reading about.
Yeah. So for people, your family, we understand, but for people that are listening to our conversation and they say, wow, that's interesting what Harold's done. I want to read that book. What do you hope they take away from reading the book?
Well, that it's fun to travel, and it's interesting, and some of the things that you find aren't always pleasing, but you have to be patient, because there's a whole different time scale. Things don't happen overnight, and you have to know how to go about that. You have to be patient. You know, it's just the adventure of not knowing what's around the corner or over the hill. That's what's so exciting for me. I never dreamed that I could do the things that I did. You know, I hitchhiked through the jungle in Guatemala.
Wow.
I rode a motorcycle up the Pan American Highway from Panama to Nicaragua. I slept in a burnout school bus overnight in the jungle in Costa Rica. And hitchhiking in the jungle in Guatemala, I was on a lumber truck, and then I was on a barge going down a river hauling corn. And just, you never know what's around the corner. You just,
yeah,
you go there and you find out the situation and you resolve, you find a solution.
Right. And wow. And you're taking us there. And that's what you're saying. So for people reading the book, you take us on a journey. Living in Brazil as a Peace Corps volunteer and businessman, Harold Beck, what a delight to travel back with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'd like to say that I have a webpage that's hlynbeckbooks.com. Yeah, it's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Beck, B-E-C-K. That's hlynbeckbooks.com. And it's being within a couple of days, it should be active.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that, Harold.
Thank you very much.
well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Joins us. His book is called Adam and Eve, The Rest of the Story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. We had such a good conversation off the air, I jotted down some notes and actually passed his book on to a couple of people because there's just so much you don't know about the history and the implications. So, Rabbi, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about, first of all, your path to writing this book. Why'd you write the book?
As we had spoken, it started actually as a teenager when listening to a lecture from my father, who was a rabbi until he passed away. He was speaking about the Old Testament, specifically one of the stories, Joseph and his brothers, and I was so fascinated by the approach. It wasn't the classic, you know, childhood story or the things you hear otherwise. It was with insights, it was with personality, it was an analysis of the status of their family situation and how it worked into the politics of the time. I was just blown away. And it started with that. And from there on in, I just kept on looking at the Old Testament as not just a set of, you know, fables or stories. I mean, from an Orthodox perspective, we take it as truth and we believe the stories. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing them as human, as real. And as I got older and a little more sophisticated and got a lot of training in psychology, etc., things just became clearer and clearer to me about the stories. And that was my first entree into this work, you know, this adventure, actually. of how to look at the Old Testament.
And, you know, it's interesting in looking at the Old Testament, too, and listening to the story about your father and listening to how it comes to life. I mean, is that what made you decide, I'm going to become a rabbi because you were so raptured by all of these stories, et cetera?
Very interesting. Not really, because I, at least from one side of my family, am a 12th generation rabbi. So it was almost an expectation that we would all end up as rabbis, not necessarily working in community or in a synagogue or in any aspect as a rabbi. It was seen really as an advanced degree of personal growth and within the religious and the study of the Torah and et cetera and all of its attendant commentaries, et cetera. And there was an expectation, an unspoken expectation, that all the boys would receive ordination. And they did.
I love it. You know, in talking about the Old Testament, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions and what people don't know? Because you look at what the title of your book is, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews.
Right. There's a fundamental principle in Judaism that, and I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate it for you. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. There is no righteous man ever who only did good and never sinned. Sin is fundamental to the human condition. And however we interpret sin, but let's just say not doing as God wishes, right? Not doing what's always good, you know, whether it's in thought, whether it's in action, you know, whether it's in intent. The fact is that we're not perfect. And it's that imperfection which actually makes the Torah, the Old Testament, so much more real. If you approach it as if these people were, you know, legends and they could do no wrong, then we miss out on 95% of the lesson of how great they really were.
Mm.
Because despite the shortcomings, despite the real human condition in which they existed, they rose to extraordinary spiritual heights and then and heroic heights in terms of their actions and what they did to our world. And I mean collectively, not just to the Jewish world. I mean, these were forefathers of most of the world in many ways, especially starting with Adam and Eve. So that's the real secret. The secret is that the Torah talks about real people.
And what don't we know about Adam and Eve, do you think?
Well, we never really knew what motivated them to sin. I mean, think about this, right? And let's take it all at face value. You're a creation of God. There's only two of you. There's Adam and there's Eve. You actually have a personal relationship with this entity that we refer to as God, this mysterious, unknown, spiritual entity that we attribute everything to. And he says, just don't do one thing. Don't eat from the forbidden fruit. Whatever that fruit was, let's call it an apple because it really has a good picture when it's an apple. We all can feel the crisp crunch of that apple when it's delicious, right? And they nevertheless, even though they had everything they could have asked for in the physical world, nothing else was restricted to them. They were driven to eat from that forbidden fruit. Why? For me, that was my biggest question about Adam and Eve. It wasn't who was their tailor, who made their clothes. It wasn't what did they do in their spare time. I mean, that came along with it also, by the way, as you begin exploring, all those questions pop up also because they're real people, right? I mean, the next stage, which is something I'm working on at the moment, is, and from there on, you get to Cain and Abel. That's the next story. So what happened over there? That gets even more maybe involved and more real for our world, especially given what's going on today politically in the world, internationally. But these are real people. How did you make such a serious mistake that literally altered the future of humanity, at least the way Judaism, Christianity, and Islam look at it? They all attribute this failing on the part of Adam and Eve, the first two humans, who knew God on a level that none or experienced God on a level that we never experience him on a one-to-one basis, and yet they couldn't listen to the one commandment, don't eat from that fruit. That must have been one heck of a fruit. It was the one thing they shouldn't do, and they did it. So that tells us that that's inherent in the human condition. We just don't listen.
Yeah, no kidding. You can get the book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Adam and Eve, the rest of the story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. For you, what was the biggest surprise in putting this together and trying to put it into a book form and making it make sense so that people want to read it and learn from your wisdom?
I appreciate the question. I think for me, as I began writing it, I actually was able to answer my question. I was able to answer the question of what would have motivated Adam and Eve to do just that, to not listen to God. And the simple answer, believe it or not, was they actually thought that when God said no, he really meant yes, which we so often do, especially in human relations. No, don't buy me that thing. No, I really don't want it. Right? Really? Oh, I think you do really want it. And you're just not wanting to be, you don't want to be dependent. You don't want to tell me. You don't want to be vulnerable. So I know what you really want. And then you go out and you buy it, and it's what he or she did not want. It's, you know, just trust him. If God says don't do it, he merely means it. No means no. Yes means yes. God doesn't play that game that we play with each other all the time. I think that was my biggest takeaway from as I developed, you know, as I went through it slowly, looking at the information that the Old Testament provides, which is very limited. As I mentioned to you, the real question that I had when I started, I mean, I didn't really share the specific question, was how the heck did we blow it in four sentences? I mean, the entire episode of Adam, Eve, and the serpent, whatever he or she was, that serpent, that thing was, right? All of a sudden, failure. Humanity fails in the course of four verses in the Old Testament, six verses in the Old Testament. How is that possible? There's got to be more to the story. And that's why I went looking, and I sort of developed what I felt would be the progression from no, to he really wants to challenge us to see how much we love him. And if we really love him, we won't even listen to him. Because in the end, we'll understand him better. So to understand him better is the goal. So when he says no, he really says, okay, how much do you really want to understand me? You should be willing to take a chance. Guess
wow.
what? He really meant no.
Yeah,
he didn't want you to take
no.
a chance.
He really meant no. I love this. We have like 30 seconds left. What do you hope
yeah.
people take away from reading this book? And I think you said it throughout this conversation.
Yeah. I hope even more than that. I believe that. I really hope that people walk away and say, you know something? There's something fundamental here that shows a shared beginning for all of us, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Islam, Muslim, whatever walk of life, that there's something that's so fundamental to each of us and real to each of us that brings us together as a single entity. And that maybe we should look at that and think more about what makes us the same than what makes us different.
Perfect place to end this. Rabbi, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.